That's right. The Drive is live, and Clint's in the building. My man Figgy is in. As I know, Figgy and Tyler did a little switcheroo. Tyler, yeah. Hey man, that man Tyler had to get up. He had to get up early as hell. And I'm telling you, I got.
He would have been here anyway.
He might have. I'm just telling you, I got a post midnight, multiple post midnight messages from Tyler Miller. Yeah. So I mean, and wide awake. Messages from Tyler Miller. So, telling
T-Mill what said, y'all ain't messing up my schedule with this.
I mean, he's got to be two to four.
He just texted me. He said, "Tell Fig, do not get comfortable in that seat in there."
Yeah, there you go. two to four hours. He's probably rolling in on this. But Figgy's in the building, and we got a short show. We are here until 4 o'clock before we hand things off to Seth and Sean for the pregame show because it is game day again. Listen, we were giving away the tickets yesterday, and there was a thought of like, looks like D'Amico changed his mind, all right? We got the report from DJ Bieniemy saying a little change of plans, that it looks like none of the starters will play, that they got enough work in on Tuesday's joint practice, so they will sit the starters. A complete coincidence that this occurs after Jaden Higgins goes down with an ACL. And then, I don't know if D'Amico slept on it. Don't know what happened, Clint and Figgy. But the latest today here is, looks like D'Amico changed his mind again. Because according to Aaron Wilson, Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud is set to play, quote, a few series tonight versus the Raiders, along with the first team offensive line, including their guard center, Keelan Rutledge, and running back Woody Marks per league source. 20 to 25 plays roughly. And then the Texans' defensive starters are expected to be rested. The offensive line evolution continues as the team searches for its top five guys heading into the opener against the Buffalo Bills. So, Clint, by this that happened this morning, it looks like that Stroud, a lot of the offensive starters are going to be out there. I mean, a few series, 20 to 25 plays, that's some good work. It looks like he changed his mind, slept on it, and I got to be honest, Clint, I think this is probably the right decision.
Oh, I love the decision. I mean, I don't even care anymore if the initial reaction to calling the audible, even if it were in a response, a knee-jerk reaction to Higgins, I like where D'Amico has landed, slept on it. I don't know if D'Amico changed his mind or if maybe the reporting may have jumped the gun a bit, but either way it goes. I like where D'Amico has landed. We've said it. Hell, I've said it. You've said it. I'm sure Figgy said it. I don't need to see anybody on this defense. Not one bit before Buffalo. But offensively, if your name ain't Nico Collins or Dalton Schultz, I need to see you play.
You would sit them down.
David Montgomery too. David Montgomery obviously not on this. I'd sit David Montgomery. I don't need to see that. Those three guys right there. If you ain't wearing one of them numbers. Yeah, you need to plan on playing. And I would argue that it's even more important, if that's possible. The reps this week are even more important than I've sold that they are, that they would have been. You look with the Jaden Higgins injury, right? You are going to be more dependent offensively. Any way you slice it, you're going to be more dependent offensively on Marlon Klein, the rookie tight end, Foster Moreau, the veteran tight end, at the wide receiver position, Jarrett Wayne, and whoever else gets healthy and is part of this. Maybe it's Justin Watson. Maybe it's the Bond kid that everybody likes. CJ could potentially have to go out and play against the Buffalo Bills with one or more of those guys in the rotation as a pass catcher. He needs reps. They need reps with him. He needs reps with them. Now we get to that offensive line. Whoever the center's going to be, whether it's Evan Brown or Keelan Rutledge, he needs reps with those guys, no doubt about it. This is even a bigger deal than had the injury not happen or if had the center position not be in flux right now. It's even a bigger deal given those two scenarios that the Texans are dealing with right now that these guys play. So love where D'Amico Ryan's landed. I don't think that surprises anybody. They know I'm all about getting them reps in and getting them valuable reps in. CJ needs this, period. The offense needs this in a big way. And, of course, the guys that haven't ever done it, that are forced into possible real game time, they need it big time.
And, listen, I don't even – because based off these reports, I don't even mind that my man seemed to get a little spooked. Like I think D'Amico got a little spooked and was like, hold on, man, we're gonna shut this down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like after that happened right in front of him, like we can't afford to lose. And then I think he slept on it and thought to himself, All right. Hold on, all right. Let cooler heads prevail. Like, yes, you don't want to work, you don't want to get anybody injured, but and I think this is the case. I think their offense and a lot of those guys, and especially the guys that are going out there, they need the work more than the potential of injury. I understand how the potential of injury is, but their need to get this time together, to be prepared as they possibly can, to use every single situation that they have, you know, at their disposal, they need it more than the potential of injury.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Will Anderson needs it more. I don't think Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, Aziz, I don't think they need it more. I think this group does. And I'll go as far as to say this, Clint Figge. This changes. Had they not gone and played out here, and we sit here and they just the closest thing we've got to is just joint practices that are controlled and all that, it would change my thought process on how this offense was going to be ready and prepared week one, week two, week three. Like that would have changed my feeling of their start. Hell, they played in the second preseason game last year and struggled, right, to get out of the gates. If they didn't play any time in the preseason, any time together in the closest thing to a real game action you can get, it would have changed my thought process on what they would look like on offense to start the season.
Yeah, look, defensively, the risk far outweighs the reward. Offensively, the reward far outweighs the risk. And I'm saying that after you lose one of your top two receivers, Higgins, in a joint practice. It just is what it is. You can't shift gears now. They got to get that work. I'm glad that's where D'Amico's landed.
All right, yeah, D'Amico, shout out to you, man. This is the right move. There's so many things, so many parts, as you mentioned, that need to work together. CJ, like the amount of game time reps that Jarrett Wayne now probably needs to get with CJ, these tight ends that need to get with CJ is obviously that much more important than it was a couple of days ago.
Yep.
So yeah, this is absolutely the move. All right. As we said, we're out here at 4 o'clock game day, and we'll hand this thing off to the pregame show with Seth and Sean. Still the news from yesterday, which this team is still going to have to deal with, is the Higgins move. He's in his torn ACL. We talked a lot about it yesterday, but I want to come from it with this angle. How much do you think this changes the plans of the offense? Does it change it a lot? Not a lot. We understand where he is as the number two receiver. How much does this change their plans of the offense? We'll discuss that next. All right, welcome back. We are live here on The Fan, and it's a game day here. Texans, Raiders, you'll hear that coming up a little bit later right here on 95.7 The Fan. Mark Vandermeer and Andre will have the call for you. I think John Harris will be on the sidelines. There's no TV tonight because it's ESPN. Joe Buck and your former teammate Troy Aikman will be doing the game tonight. But you can hear that right here on 95.7 The Fan. And we have a little short show today. We'll hold it down to about 4 o'clock, and Seth and Sean will take over. And I'm certain this conversation about the news of yesterday. They're eventually, and not just eventually, I'm certain they have to move on and figure out the next thing. But I am curious to see, because I know there were a lot of people yesterday, and I don't even take it, well, some of you are being asses, but I don't even take it as really is that, I think there are some people really wondering, like, are we making too big of a deal of a guy who is a second option that still kind of needs to prove it as a second option? Like, this is somebody you still didn't really quite know. But I think Clint made a comment addressing someone yesterday saying, I can understand if you are somebody who hasn't been out at camp and watched what happened. That's one of the things I'm wondering. Like, when they came together and met, right, as an offensive staff, and they're like, all right, this injury has occurred, and we're going to be without him for the year. I wonder how much this changes plans. Because I think last year when Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover, they were just gone for long, like Cade, what, 10 weeks, and then Brevin for the year. Like, it seemed to change their game plan on how they wanted to run formations and use tight ends. They only had really one guy that they could lean on. I do wonder how much this changes plans.
Yeah, look, what you said right there is what's scary. If you really look in hindsight, and they've said it themselves, so we know it to be true. Just say it out loud. All the players on this defense, you can lose a superstar player and it doesn't change what they do offensively. I mean, defensively, I'm sorry. We've seen D'Amico lose multiple defensive players and it doesn't change what they do, right? We lose two backup tight ends and a year later we're talking about how it threw off our whole identity on offense, right? And so that in itself is one where you look at and you go, that's a little bit of a head scratch. I get what you're saying, but that shouldn't be the case. Now, I think this is a major hit to the offense, losing Jaden Higgins. I don't think it changes what you do offensively. The Houston Texans better be a top half of the league run team, not because Higgins got hurt, but because you spent the whole offseason with everybody that you signed, every move you made, every dollar you spent on the offensive side of the football, from Foster Moreau to Ed Ingram to Braden Smith to Trent Brown to Wyatt Teller to even drafting your first round draft pick in Keelan Rutledge and David Montgomery behind, every move you made was to run the football better. A Higgins injury doesn't change that. Your identity should still be more physical than everybody, dominate the line of scrimmage, and run the football. That's what you've been telling us from jump. So I don't think it should not change the identity. It should not change what this team is able to do in any way, shape, or form from an identity perspective. Now, you look up, and I thought this unit going into training camp lacked explosiveness, lacked speed. I'm talking about the pass catchers in general. Lacked explosiveness, speed, change of direction, twitch, all that kind of stuff. And you've had a couple of guys stand out in training camp, but the number one guy that stood out and really answered all of those concerns that I had that I just laid out, the one guy that's brought that to the table, think about it. We've seen him make plays day in, day out with multiple quarterbacks. The chemistry's there. He's playing fast. You got people going on national television talking about he's the fastest guy on the team. He can run by any Texans defensive back, which I don't know if that's true, but that's what they're saying about him. That's who Higgins was. When he goes down, you lose a major weapon, and somebody's got to fill that role. Yeah. I don't think it changes who you are. I don't think it's an excuse to not for Nick Caley to not be able to run any kind of offense or any certain personnel. I don't think it's an excuse for C.J. Stroud to not be able to play well and have his options. But it definitely changes the explosiveness of this offense until somebody else steps up.
Yeah, because I think it's fair to say, and Figgy, I think you maybe you've been out there, maybe you've been out there a couple of times. Clint, I know you've been out there. I think it's almost fair to say, if you would say, all right, what receiver, what pass catcher's role in what they did last year compared to what they do this year, who looks the most different? I think it would be Higgins. Like, one of the first things we talked about, we were out there, was like, man, he's lining up in the slot a lot. Like, they're not just putting him on the outside and just leaving him on the outside. That's right. like he did predominantly. He's in the slot. He's moving. He's coming in motion. It, like, of all the players in terms of pass catchers, it looked like they were doing the most different things with him. And that was kind of the thought process of like, boy, like, I wonder how much that shifts things with what they're trying to do.
I'm going to tell you, Ron, and I briefly mentioned this when I saw it at practice. But I would argue that if you went and talked to Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans, the guys that are really hell bent on running the football, right, and even Caserio with the roster moves, right, I would be willing to bet you that they would tell you right now that the biggest way that Jaden Higgins changes this offense is he was blocking like a grown man in the run game. And they want to, probably number one is running the football. He was locking back. I mean, I saw him take Reed Blankenship. Not, look, I'm not saying Reed is Will, but I mean, he took Reed Blankenship and locked him down like we've seen Trent Brown lock down defensive ends. I mean, he widened his base, sunk his anchor, and just gripped him on the chest. And it was like, said, I mean, if it wasn't, I had to look, you know, I would have had to look twice if it wouldn't have been the only white guy on the defense, but I knew who it was immediately. Reed got his ass locked up right there. Who was it? And it was Higgins. So, I mean, finding a guy that can do all the stuff we talked about in the pass game as well as block that well in the run game, that's going to be a long shot. We'll see what Jarrett Wayne can do. I think he's a big body that should bring some of that to the table. We'll see what Hutch brings to the table. He's obviously done it before. But no, to answer the question that you asked from the jump, Ron, I don't think this Higgins injury changes much of what you do from a personnel standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, and damn sure not from an identity standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Text line coming in. My take is we are now going to see how much Nick Caley has improved as an OC.
Come on.
And how much we can make adjustments now with injuries and adjustments during the game and the rest of the season. Yeah, only thing we have based off with that is what we've seen. And, you know, what we've seen has not been great when it comes to that.
Well, I mean, at some point, I'll go back to what we just because it's something we've talked about. Like, at some point, your offensive coordinator after the season is over or even the next preseason, even when he's asked about it, can't say, oh, well, man, Brevin Jordan and what's his name? Another tight end?
Stover.
Cade Stover. Boy, they really put us in a bind when they got hurt. Man, that was – you're talking about your second and third, maybe second and fourth best tight end on the roster. Like, well, I mean, that can't be the case. Like, losing your number two receiver hurts. Losing it 3 weeks before the first game – It just shouldn't change what you do. I mean, an average offensive coordinator in this league has the ability to overcome that without missing too many steps.
Yep, we're gonna see. All right, coming up as we continue on a game day here, we got to look at the Astros. They were able to pull one out, and with the Rangers losing, they added a game to their lead. Joe got himself mad. He don't even look believable when he gets thrown out of game. Old Joe got himself mad, and why your boy Ocho, your boy needs a big, big performance tonight. We'll talk about the Astros coming up next as we continue. Ran into that lady again. I just felt real.
Did you speak to her again?
No, I didn't say it, and she had to stop me too.
See, it's internally. He's creepy.
She had to stop me and hold while
he was front first.
Like, ho, come here, man. Wait a minute.
Man, I got nervous, man. I was sitting there. I was like, oh man, she knows. She knows, man.
Put that stop sign up and said, let me let you get a better look at this old haircut, Ron.
Let me swing it on.
Hey, they call you Show, don't they? You're
on the radio, right?
You that guy that's on the radio. I heard you talking about our interaction yesterday. Get you a good look at this haircut. I put a little extra product in this morning.
I know it is a lot different because of this one detail, but there's another teacher found out. She said, I went up and said the same exact thing to her. And it looks good. I really like your haircut. She said the same exact thing, but I think it feels different because it's a female.
Another teacher said it?
Yeah,
so one of her coworkers that she obviously knows and probably speaks to?
Yeah, and
is female?
Yeah. I said the same exact thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's the pickup line, some stories that I've heard, maybe some videos that I've seen on social media, seems to be a seems to be a spot where you probably ought to try to keep your windows up. I mean, you might get yourself in trouble if you put too many compliments.
Yeah, man, I'm done. No more. I'm out. I'm out. It is weird. I don't know why. As soon as she stopped me and she started walking towards the car, I thought, oh my God. of all the things.
She's winning on your next compliment.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I just think the only way to smooth it over.
She has to recognize the car now.
Hey, Fig, the only way to smooth it over is to acknowledge it.
I don't think so.
Hey, you've said that. I hope you don't think I'm some. I'm going to see you every morning. It's going to be uncomfortable. I just hope you don't think I was being creepy.
Oh,
I was
you
really
want him to address
you.
This?
Oh, I think
you
don't think. I don't think this is the move. No, I think we just let it go. I think Finn, we just sit in it.
24 hours later, he's first in her stop. She stop signs his ass first car. It's going to be uncomfortable.
I think. I think by the time we get to Halloween, we should be in good shape. It'll blow over. I waited out.
Was this week two of school?
Yeah, it is.
I'm telling you,
why did I? I'm telling you, I know you've had.
There's been three or four times when I've done something or said something that, like as I'm saying it, I realize it's a tad bit creepy. I immediately
you address it.
I immediately like, hey, I'm not some old creeper. I'm just complimenting your hair. That's how I would. Like I acknowledge it that way. She knows. I know, and we're good.
I know over time there's some throws you'd like to have back.
Oh, several of them in one game.
I'd like to have that one back. Yeah. I wish if I could go Groundhog's Day, like if I could let me get another crack at that.
What would you do? Not do it?
No, I wouldn't. I'd just keep riding through. I give her what I've given her the last four years.
Did you roll the window down?
I had to get closer. That's the thing,
Fig. It wasn't driver's side like window down just out here.
And you're
it
right.
Was passenger
think,
window.
I think I and I think I did go arm behind the passenger seat.
Oh so man! So you had to yell a little bit too.
Oh no question. He had to yell out the passenger window. He had to yell just for somebody to hear him that was standing right outside the door. Hell, she was 20 yards from him.
I was being nice, man. I don't know. So I don't know what took over me to just feel like I had to let her know.
You just got to keep moving forward, man.
Yeah, I do, man.
Yeah. You seen Booker T. Remember back in the day, Booker T. made that comment on there?
Yeah. About Hogan?
Yeah. We coming for you. And he had to cover his face and just. Keep in character,
through, man.
Yeah, you gotta stay in
That's
character.
That time
man.
Booker T was in character, accidentally dropped the N-word in his promo.
we coming for you.
That's a real ass promo right there.
That's right. Let it ride.
He had to smile. He had to look serious. Just keep going, man. Don't beat yourself up over it.
Hey, man. I feel like Jacob Fatu's gonna do it every time he gets going. All right. No other way to transfer that than by saying Baseball Talk on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Well, the Astros got a dub, and they will go again tonight to see if they can go ahead and take care of this series against the Angels. The Bats still a little asleep, only three runs last night, but they do win 3-2. And I think there was a lot that happened last night. One, did that fan get ejected? I sure hope he did.
I don't think he did. Did y'all hear the bat story on it?
Uh-uh.
So apparently those guys were from Australia. So they had no idea that they were interfering with the game. That's why they were celebrating.
Yeah, you can't run them people out.
Once I found out they wasn't from here. And they were just visiting from Australia.
Nah, you can't run.
Then I kind of had to walk my comments.
If they
back.
Do it a second time, you know, then you got to run.
Figgy, he should have parked his Australian ass on that second row. Keep him off the fence. Keep him off that yellow line,
no,
man.
At least go to Hale Somebody, Clint. I would have done the same damn thing. I would have done.
If you reached over?
Yes.
Why? If,
I wouldn't even have thought about reaching over. I see the ball coming to me. I'm going to get it. I think those two runs would have scored regardless. I just want to say
oh,
that.
Yeah. Old buddy, he was rolling.
I thought he might have helped him. I thought he might have
caught the guy that was at third.
Yes. My instinct would be to, oh, it's coming my way. I got a chance to catch a home run ball in the Burrow boxes.
You lean back, and if it comes to you, you catch it. If it hits a fence, it hits a fence. Now, you better be a good judge of it, because if it comes a little bit over that yellow line, it's going to hit you right in the cup. That'd be a bad deal.
I don't think my instinct would have been like to let it go. I would have got to go in there and try to pull that sucker
but
in.
But see,
too.
Not only did he do that, they were celebrating. So I'm like, yo, you just interfered in the game, man.
Yeah, they don't know it. But don't be mad at him. But Petco had himself, this is about as good as it could go. 3 2/3, 3 hits, 2 earned. He get 4 Ks, 3 walks. I mean, for his first time out in his debut, which I felt like a little pressure, like, hey, man, we don't need to lose this series to the Angels. We already lost game one. You know, I thought he went and pitched pretty well. I'm guessing we're probably going to see him get another start and see if they can get something with him the rest of the way. But this went better than I would have expected.
Well, I mean, it went better than I expected. I just didn't get to see it. I as soon as I sat down and flipped that TV on, that ball hit the wall. I flipped it on. I looked at the score. I said, "Man, my man's going to get to four. He's going to get through four and no runs, man. That's a good first outing." About that time, pow! I said, "Oh, hell no!" But only two of them got home, baby. So yes, it was still a good outing. It was almost a really good outing.
Yeah, yeah. If he could have, hey, he almost matched Javier. If he could have got one more out, Joe wasn't playing with him. Mm. Joe said, "We're going to have to get you out of here." You think he chose his number, or you think that number 70 was just waiting on him?
Nobody chooses 70 in baseball. Ain't nobody choosing 70.
They didn't let him choose his number.
They may have given him a choice, but they didn't let him choose.
You think they gave him some choices? Buck, 70 was the best thing?
You want 70, 79? I mean, I guarantee they didn't offer him a good. He didn't get to choose like a good number.
What do you think he had? 67, 70?
O-line, D-line numbers? No
91.
Question.
It looks like Hader chose 71. He's the first person I've ever seen choose. A 70s number.
When you're Josh Hader, you can do a name like that and can throw it like that. Hell, you can, and money like that, you wear whatever you want.
Listen, man. By the way, Pena, we'll await if we're still on the air. Pena did get hit and had to leave the game. Nick Allen came in for him. They did say the x-rays on his right hand, he got hit by a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. They did say the x-rays were negative on Pena. Shout out to Joe Espada, who got himself ejected. I just want Joe to really get himself ejected, like, and get his money's worth. Like, I just felt like it was a weak ejection. He came out there and it wasn't believable.
What was he arguing? When I turned the TV on, Lopez.
It was about the hit by pitch with the Angels. They said it was a similar thing to happen to Pena. And I'll be honest, that umpire had a quick draw. Like, I don't know if he had a bad evening, bad day leading up to him, but he threw mild mannered Joe's ass right out. But he is. But listen, the bullpen went off, you know, 5 1/3 innings, zero earned. But tonight is like, Clint, I know we're going to get done here at 4, so we may not be able to get to these guys as much, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But like Peter Lambert's, they got to get somebody to get length in the they can't. This is not at all sustainable. They don't have all Wolverines in the bullpen where they just can just heal themselves immediately. Like, they can't just keep – they have not had a starter go past 5 innings in 7 starts. Mm. So that means the bullpen is coming in and filling in all of those innings, including over 5 last night. Javier only went 4 the day before. So they really need Peter Lambert to go at least 6 tonight.
I don't disagree with your frustration with the pitching. But I'm going to tell you, Peter Lambert can go 8 tonight. If that damn Yordan Alvarez don't start center punching a couple of them, we're going to have a hard time, boss.
Yeah, the bats got – but the bullpen, you can see, is good. Like, they have, especially of late, you know, and potentially can be a weapon if they're able to, you know, figure out this division and get themselves in. But, man, you don't want to drain their asses to death. They can't keep coming in and getting 5 innings. Like, somebody, please. Yeah. I mean, they did. Peter went 5, and Hunter went 5 back-to-back, and now it's 4, 3 1/3 here. Like, man, at some point, somebody's got to get some rest. All right, coming up as we continue one more hour until we hand things over to Seth and Sean, who are we going to be talking about tomorrow? Who are Clint and Sean in the post-game show tonight going to be talking about after tonight's game? And remember, it looks like some offensive starters, including C.J. Stroud, will play tonight. We'll discuss that coming up next.